the Holy Spirit and the inspiration of scriptures and in so many different ways. But unfortunately today there are many misconceptions about the Holy Spirit and his work. And so it's important for us to have a good basis in scripture to understand exactly how the Spirit works and how he is working in the hearts of believers today. First of all, we know that the Holy Spirit has four very important activities today in the lives of people in the world around us. He's out there, he's seeking to convince people of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And then when a person is ready, that comes to that point of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we read in Scripture of four very important factors involved in his actions with the new believer. First of all, he regenerates or gives new life to the new believer. And then he indwells new believer. The Holy Spirit begins to live and dwell in the believer. He baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. And that's a very important one because today there are so many funny ideas about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And I won't go into that at the moment. And then the last thing, he seals the Holy Spirit. And that, in other words, is when God is saying, belong to me. When we are getting a deed for a building or for a property, we usually have to go through all the channels, and finally the document is sealed with an official seal. And this shows and proves that the property now belongs to me. You are mine. And that's what the Lord is actually saying by the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer. You now belong to me. But what I'd like to see most of all today is in the area of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we get a lot of misconceptions about that as well. And I'd like to, again, see what Scripture says about the gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. You'll see there are some verses there, Romans 12, 6 to 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, Ephesians 4, 11, and 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. These are some of the verses we'll be looking at as we go through this topic of the gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning. Now, first of all, we see that the Holy Spirit is given at the moment of conversion, and he comes and he also, not only does he baptize us into the body of Christ and save us, but he gives every believer a gift, a spiritual gift, at least one. Sometimes there are more than one, there are more than one gift, and so we are those who then have to know what is the gift, how can we use that gift, what does it mean to me? First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives to them to each one as he determines. And so in other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who is coordinating the church here on earth. The Holy Spirit is the one who is able to give the gifts necessary for the functioning of a local church and for the individual to have a ministry that he can use in the service of God. And this is very, very important. We're all given a gift, at least one gift, and sometimes there's more than one gift given. Now, the spiritual gifts are from the Holy Spirit, as we've just been seeing there. And we don't have to have the same gifts. Not everybody has the same gifts. And you remember those verses in Corinthians 12 where it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? And obviously this is a rhetorical question, and the answer is no, they're not. Not everybody is a prophet, not everybody is a teacher, not everybody has this or that gift. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is giving the different gifts to each person as he sees fit, and as he is able to understand the person to whom he is giving that gift, so that that person can not only have a ministry to serve the Lord, but also to work together in the good of a local church so that that body of the church may be built up. So we have to remember that he is the one who is in control. But all of us do have gifts. Now, to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good. So you see, a gift is not just for my use, for me to glory in myself or in what I can do, But there is a common good, and that common good is seen in the local church as we are serving the Lord and working together for the good of the local church. All have gifts. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So don't try to be an ear if you're not, if you're a hand or if you're another part of the body. We're all different. And sometimes we would like to be a Billy Graham or somebody very important, somebody who can preach a lot, somebody who's in front of people, somebody who's doing things that we think are more important than the gift that I have. But don't forget, it's the Holy Spirit who's giving the gifts, and He's the one who is wanting to use us and the gifts that we have, our abilities, our personality, our character, all of those things. He's able to use those things to build up the local body so that it can function well, so that it can grow, and so it can be blessed. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And so here we have a picture of the church as a body. And we, as we know what a body is like, we have fingers and toes and ears and eyes, all of these things. But if everybody wants to be an eye, what sort of a body is that going to be? What can an eye do on its own? It can see a lot of things, but you know, where can it go? It doesn't have legs. It doesn't have hands to do anything. And so we have to look at it sometimes in a very practical way. The body needs every member. The body needs you. The body needs your gift. The body needs what you are able to do, the function for which God has put you in the church. The Holy Spirit is there using you and wants to use you. Every Christian should show the fruit of the Spirit. That's something else. The Holy Spirit is in us. He's indwelling us. And He is wanting to manifest through our bodies the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, we know those points that are mentioned there in Galatians 5:22. But as we think about those things, we can say, really, that's the essence of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled those things perfectly in every way. And He lived those things perfectly in every way. And so when the Holy Spirit is trying to show through us the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, I should say, then what He's trying to do is work out through our lives something of the character and the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we should be a little more like the Lord Jesus Christ than we were a year ago. How is the Holy Spirit working in our lives? Are we allowing Him to do His work? Are we allowing Him to work in us and through us and to prepare us and to train us for the things that He has for us? And are we seeking to live in a way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, as we are able to allow the Holy Spirit to use those fruits of the Spirit, so we will be manifesting something of the character of Christ in our lives. Not that I'm walking about saying, I look more like Christ now than I did yesterday. That's not the point. But others may see something in us of the character of Christ, and that's very, very important. 1 Corinthians 14:22 and 25 is a very important section of Scripture, because there's a lot of confusion today about the gift of tongues. Everybody likes to have a gift that's a little bit spectacular. It looks good if you can stand up and look like you're really full of the Spirit and you're really excited about something. But you know what? We live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by feelings. And so I just like to emphasize a little bit about the problem with the people who today are seeking to promote the fact that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And there are scriptures that are very obvious and show us clearly that this is not the case. The Holy Spirit, in the moment of our conversion, begins to indwell the believer. Doesn't mention anything about tongues at that point. Let's just look at these verses in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 22 through 25. And here the Apostle Paul is arguing against the misuse of tongues that was happening in the church at Corinth back at those times. And there are all of those gifts, but some people thought these were more spectacular. These were more interesting. And don't you ever hear people saying, well, if you haven't spoken in tongues, you don't have the Spirit. You aren't as spiritual as we are because you're not showing out this gift of the tongues by the Spirit. What does Scripture say? Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. What unbelievers? Well, we see there's a Scripture there referring back to Isaiah where it says, in a certain time, that people will hear the message of God in foreign tongues. And so this is a sign for the Jews, because they know the Old Testament scriptures. They know the words of the Old Testament scriptures, and they know prophecies that are there. And so here we have unbelievers amongst the Jews, unbelievers who don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, unbelievers who don't accept the fact that the Lord Jesus came in such a miraculous way, and they reject him. And so they're unbelievers. But when tongues came to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, we see that this was a tremendous sign for them, something they understood, because there are at least 11 languages that are actually mentioned there of the people who had come from many countries for the Passover, and they heard these people speaking the glories of God in their own language, men who had never learned those languages but speaking perfectly the language and glorifying God to them. And so this was something spectacular for all of these Jews because they understood the scriptures. They were unbelievers, but then on that day, 3,000 of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He goes on to say, prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everybody speaks in tongues, and some do not say, and some do not understand, or some unbelievers come in, now, who are we talking about now? There's another type of an unbeliever involved. If somebody comes in, you're in Corinth, you're in a pagan city, and there will be unbelievers coming in who are pagans, who don't understand anything about the Old Testament scriptures. And when they come in, what happens? Will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever, someone who does not understand the scriptures, comes in, and again, it's a Gentile, while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So you have the two classes of believers. And the tongues were a sign for Israel. And what was it for Gentiles? That they would hear and they would understand the science, the knowledge, as the Greeks were always seeking, and they would hear the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus as the Messiah coming, and they would turn and say, God is truly among this people. Having the Holy Spirit is indwelling is not confirmed by speaking in tongues, as many would seek to teach us today. In Acts chapter 11, verse 15, we read, as I began to speak, and he's now speaking with Cornelius and those in his home, and he was a Roman centurion. The Holy Spirit came on them, and listen, as he had come on us at the beginning. So this was something about 10 years later, and Peter is saying, hasn't happened since the beginning, since the day of Pentecost. And so he's able to say, this is something that's really, you remember how it was on the day of Pentecost, and now they were all speaking in tongues. Then I remember what the Lord Jesus had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave to us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a key, that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I would oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. So you see, this is a sign again for the Jews that God is moving into a new area in a new direction, and not only the Jews are going to have salvation, but Gentiles likewise are going to be saved. Tongues was a sign to the Jews that the Holy Spirit had given Gentiles life. And so when they spoke in tongues, it was a sign of the Holy Spirit coming upon them at the moment of their belief, because they believed, as it says there, they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that belief, they were then baptized into the body of Christ. They become a part of the body of Christ, the believers. And so that's what tongues was back in the New Testament times. And we need to be very careful not to be confused by some of these arguments that we need to speak in tongues in order to be able to show that we have the Holy Spirit in us. Both spiritual gifts and natural abilities come from God. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James chapter 1, verse 17. God has made you who you are, and he's made you what you are. So we need to be ourselves, not like somebody else. We need to do what God wants me to do, not what somebody else is doing. What are some of the gifts that the Spirit mentions in the New Testament? We'll go to those verses that we saw at the beginning. First of all, 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. One of the gifts was a message of wisdom, then a message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpreting of tongues. So these are a list of some of the gifts. They're not conclusive. There are many other gifts that have been given. And we see, for example, over in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, prophesying, faith, teaching, encouraging, giving, that's with regard to our stewardship and money, leadership, and showing mercy. These are all part of different gifts that the Holy Spirit is giving. And then in Ephesians 4, verse 11, the Lord gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And that's in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 we read, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare the people for works of service, so that the body of the church may be built up." Now it's interesting, it mentions apostles and prophets there, and these were fundamental gifts, foundational gifts that were given to the church in the beginning. And they laid the basis, they laid the foundation of the doctrines that we would be following today. And just as when we put up a building like this, a foundation is laid and the body begins to go up and is continuing to be built, and so it is with the church. The foundation was laid, and we no longer see the apostles and the prophets. They are part of that foundation that was laid back there in the first century. And the church has been built up during all of those years and is still building today as new people are added to the church and as the church body is growing. So we are part of that building that is going up, which is the temple of God by the Holy Spirit who dwells in each one of us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, a couple more gifts there, speaking and serving. And so there are all sorts of gifts involved, and we need to be those who are ready to find out, what is my gift? How can I use my gift? How does the Lord want me to use this gift? The Spirit will give each one of us a gift or gifts according to what ministry he has for us. And natural gifts and abilities are also empowered by the Holy Spirit as we use them for the Lord. For example, a carpenter, and a musician, an accountant, a manager, a secretary, a doctor, whatever profession we may have, whatever work we may have, there are mothers who are caring for children and bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord as they have most time in the home with them. And so there are many different activities that people have. And that's why in Titus we read that the older woman should be training and helping the younger women to understand that they need to love their husbands and they need to love their children and bring them up in the fear of the Lord. And so there are all of these different activities. They're all working together. In Exodus 35, we have a very good case of somebody who was equipped for a very special work. In verses 30, 34, we read, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel and has filled him with the Spirit of God." Notice again, it's the Holy Spirit who's been working here. "With skill and ability and knowledge of all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for the work in gold, silver and bronze, to cut out set stones, to work in wood and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship, and has given to each, given both him and Holiab, the ability to teach others." So now we understand and we remember what happened here. You'll be seeing something about the tabernacle in a week or so, I believe. And it's interesting to see just how the tabernacle was built and what artistic crafts were involved in the building of the tabernacle. And you see a menorah there that's a copy of something that the candlestick would have looked like in the tabernacle. It was a work of art. Where did Bezalel learn his works of art? Well, no doubt he was a jeweler in Egypt. No doubt he had practiced the trade there. He'd learned how to cut diamonds. He'd learned how to cut stones. He'd learned how to make things, to mold things. And so God had prepared him for a fantastic work, the work of establishing and building and putting together all the different parts of the tabernacle so that it would all be for the glory of God, and it would be able to teach the people around that tabernacle of the nation of Israel that God was in their midst and that he had all of these things there as a type and a shadow of what was to come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we study these things, we say, well, what a fantastic gift he had. But you know what? There are many people here today who have all sorts of gifts. Some are medical doctors, some are involved in schoolwork, teaching, training, helping others, and all of these different activities. We need to ask ourselves, is the Lord preparing me for a very special ministry? Or am I already involved in a very special ministry where I am, doing what God has given me to do right where I am? And we don't have to go to a mission field, or that's wonderful to be able to do that. I'm so thankful to the Lord for my 20 years in Colombia as a missionary, establishing some assemblies down there and involved in a lot of other activities. But you know what? Not everybody is called to go to a mission field, but we all have a mission field right here where we are. The neighbor next door is part of that mission field that we have. We're able to talk a lot. Some people are able to very easily talk with people. And are you able to talk to your neighbor and just share with them the gospel? We had a number of people in Kenosha who, one time I asked, how many people here in the assembly have led a person to the Lord in the last year? And unfortunately, there weren't any hands that had gone up. And so we began a series on evangelism, just what evangelism is, how we can use different verses to help a person understand the way of salvation and bring them to the point of making a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after we'd had a series of lectures on those sorts of things, we rented, and we still rent every month up at the 7 Mile Fair just north of Kenosha, a table in the big, huge flea market once a month on a Saturday. And we have two people from the assembly go there for a period of 2 hours, and then they change after 2 hours so that a number of people from the assembly get an opportunity to be there at the 7 Mile Fair to not only just give out tracts, but the idea is to get into conversation with people, leading them to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, showing through the scripture the steps towards salvation so that they can get a little more confidence doing this publicly in a place like the flea market. Then hopefully when they get back to their own homes, in their own town, they will be ready to share the gospel with their neighbors, with the lady that they're talking to as they're checking out from the supermarket or wherever it might be. They won't be afraid to just say, well, and they can begin to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. So these things are very important. We all should be witnesses. The Lord said to his disciples, you shall be my witnesses. And he's saying the same thing to us today. Regardless of whatever gift we may have, we should all be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is such an important factor for us. We are responsible for the use of our gifts. And that's an important thing. The Lord has given each one of us a spiritual gift. How are we using that gift? What am I doing today with that gift that God has given me? Well, we are not responsible for the gifts given to others. It's very easy to criticize somebody else who's perhaps doing their best and making mistakes. But you know what? It's always better to make a mistake and learn and move on than to not do anything, to just sit and say, well, I'm too afraid to do this, I'm too afraid to do that. We need to be ready to step up to the mark, step up to the plate, and ready to take a strike or two to see how we're going to go. That's very, very important. If we receive gifts and don't use them, it is a sin. Now, that's an important factor. If dissatisfied with our gift or unhappy because the Holy Spirit doesn't give us a gift we want, likewise, it's a sin. And we have to be careful of that, because what does it say in James 4:17? Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do but doesn't do it sins. So what is the good that the Lord wants us to do? Well, one of the good things he wants us to do is use that spiritual gift that he has given us. He wants us to know what our gift is and then to begin to use it, because as you know, somebody who's a weightlifter, if they cease their exercises and they don't do anything, they just go and sit down somewhere, their muscles will atrophy and they won't be doing any bodybuilding at all. And it's the same with a spiritual gift. If we don't use it, we lose it. And we need to be able to think about, what is the gift that the Lord has given me? What are the abilities that the Lord has given me? Whether it be in business, whether it be in sport, or whatever it might be, the Lord has given us abilities, and He wants to use those abilities for blessing. Discover your gift and use it for the Lord. The Lord expects us to do all of these things. Now, there are different gifts, and they complement each other. And this is an important factor. If we all had the same gift, you would have a very funny sort of an assembly here, wouldn't we? It would be very difficult, because everybody would be up the front here preaching, or everybody would be sitting down there and nobody would be preaching. It just wouldn't work. So there's a diversity of gifts, and they are all important for the building up and strengthening of the local church. Romans 12, 4-8 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If it is a man's gift, prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And so these are some of the exhortations we have regarding the gifts that we have. We all have different gifts. Each one has to find out, what is my gift? There is no secret about knowing what my gift is. Some people say, well, what is my gift? How do I know what my gift is? Just keep doing what you are doing, and do it well, and do it for the Lord, and allow the Lord to guide you in the things that you are doing. And when there are opportunities to serve and help somehow in the local assembly, then what are we going to do? We're going to hide and say, I can't do it, I'm too busy, I've got a special TV program I want to watch, or something else. Then what are we doing? We're denying the Holy Spirit. And we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not put out the fire that the Holy Spirit wants to ignite in you. How do we put out that fire? Well, you remember in Ephesians 6, where it's speaking about the whole armor of God. What does it say? How do we put out the fiery darts of the evil one? By standing firmly and saying no to the temptation and the difficulties and the problems that Satan would seek to bring our way. In the same way, when we stand firm and say no to the Holy Spirit, when He wants to involve us in a local assembly activity, in a local assembly work, and we keep saying no, 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 what are we doing? We're putting out the warmth, the fire, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and He's unable to help us to grow and to know what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. There's nobody who can tell you what your particular gift is. Others may may see some of these things in your lives and be able to give you some counsel. But you know, each one of us, we have to be before the Lord and say, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? What gifts have you given me? How can I be a person that you can use? That's so very, very important. The use of the gifts is very, very important. These are not for personal benefit or for our personal enjoyment. Now, some people, they may have a gift of some sort, and they're using it to make themselves rich. We see this on television. People have some programs, and the only thing they seem to be doing is asking for money and driving around in their big cars and buying their new jets and all these sorts of things. Is that serving the Lord, or is that serving themselves? Gifts are not for our own personal enjoyment. A box of chocolates is for personal enjoyment. Jewelry that the person buys, that's for their personal adornment, you know, make themselves look pretty. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things, but these are things for me. People who are in different trades and different activities, they need their tools of trade. A doctor needs a scalpel, and a carpenter needs a hammer, and so on. We could go through all the different types, and those are important, and they need those things for work, but they can also be used for the Lord when they're brought under the control of the Holy Spirit, and He is able to direct and help in different ways. The gifts are for the equipping of the saints. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers." What for? "To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." And so the Lord wants to take whatever gift you have, whether it be a gift, a natural gift that he is developing in some way to be able to use you for blessing, or if it's a gift that's going to be used more directly involved in body life in a local church, that's important as well. But we need to be able to use those things for him, putting in his hands our lives, our abilities, our gifts, whatever it is that we have, and saying, "Lord, here am I." This is why it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable worship. And then by doing this and avoiding the worldly customs and things that are going on, we will find out what that is, good and perfect will of God. So we need to present ourselves and say, "Lord, here am I. I'm ready to do what you want me to do." Just like little Samuel did as a boy, "Here am I, and speak, your servant is listening." We need to have that same attitude. What did the Apostle Paul say after he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus? "What would you have me to do?" And if we have that question and we are honest about it, the Lord will open our hearts, open our minds, and help us to come to the place where we are useful for him and our lives can be a means of real blessing. I can remember when I was involved back in Australia, and I was working for a big company. I had a good job. I was married. I owned my own home, and we had a family on the way. And I was very much involved in the local assembly. I was involved in the youth work. I was involved in publication of a Christian magazine that was going around the world. I was involved in all sorts of activities. And then one day, the thought came to me, "Are you really committed to the Lord? Are you totally committed to the Lord? Does the Lord have everything? Is he doing what he wants? Or have you planned your own life?" I was going to retire when I was 50 with a tremendous pension. And then I was going to be able to visit assemblies and teach and help at my own expense. But you know, that was my plan. But what did the Lord say? Well, one day I was coming out of the office in a lunch hour, and as I was walking along the street, I noticed a hobo, a bum who was there in the gutter, picking up cigarette butts and smoking the last little bit of that cigarette butt. And you know, the thought came into my mind at that moment, and I think the Lord prompted it. I didn't hear any voices or anything like that, but it was as though the Lord said to me, "That's what you want to do to me. You want to give me the butt end of your life. I want all of it." You know, we have to be prepared to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. I'm ready to live the way you want me to live. I'm ready to do anything that you put before me. I'm ready to stay where I am, go overseas," or whatever it might be. And you know what? Once we commit that type of a decision before the Lord, we will find that the Lord will begin to direct our paths in a way that we could never possibly believe. And he will guide us into a ministry that will be more satisfying than anything else that we could possibly imagine or try to produce ourselves. And I'm sure that anybody who has come to that same decision would be able to confirm what I'm saying, that God will bless your life abundantly if you are prepared to make a total commitment to him and allow him to use whatever that gift is that he's given you for blessing and for the honor of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the challenge we have before us today. Gifts are to be used with God's direction and power. In 1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 11, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should do whatever he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace or gift in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as though he's speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides." Why is it that sometimes we try to do so many things and nothing works? We're doing it in our own strength, in our own way, in our own plan. We need to allow God to work out his plan in us, and then we'll find that strength that is way beyond anything that we could possibly imagine ourselves. And what's the purpose of it all? The major purpose: so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and forever. And so whatever we do, you know, there's nothing that we can do that is so perfect that it's all because of me. The only thing that I can do is because I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, who will work through me. And when we get before that the judgment seat of Christ, we will find that there'll be crowns given out. I remember a young fellow in Colombia one time saying, "But if I get all five crowns, do I have to wear them all at the same time? Won't that be very heavy?" And I had to say, "Look, you won't even have them for very long, because you'll be throwing them before the feet of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'You are worthy of all honor and praise and glory.' Because it's only because of him that we can do anything. Anything that I happen to do or he does is because he's done it through me. And he has been able to use me. And the same for you. So it's not for our self-glory. It's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and forever. That's for the common good. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Gifts should not divide, but should unite. Why is it that so? There are so many fights sometimes and divisions among churches down through the ages. We've seen them happen. It's quite often because two very powerful men have decided they didn't like the other person, and personal problems have divided churches and divided people. No, our gifts should never divide. They should unite us. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, but to each one of us, the grace or the gift has been given as Christ apportioned it. You see, the Lord is the one who gives the gift, apportioning it through the Holy Spirit who is in the believer. He is the one who is directing. He is the one who is empowering. He is the one who is giving the blessings. It's nothing that we do ourselves. It's all of what the Lord has done and what he is doing in and through his people today. Now, how can I know what my gift is? That's the question we all ask, isn't it? How can I know what my gift is? Well, we need to be Spirit-filled. How are we filled with the Spirit? Well, we allow him to guide us day by day. A lot of people think that, I was really filled with the Spirit once. I was at a camp and I really felt excited and blessed. You know what? Filling should be something that happens on a daily basis. I remember going out into the jungle one time in Colombia, and there was this thatch roof house and a very, very poor dirt floor. And you know what? They had some bamboo, the very thick bamboo. They split it down the middle. And there was a spring just up on the hill behind the house. And they had put one end of this on, and they put a piece of bamboo over the other like a canal that ran down into a 45-gallon drum down beside their house. And you know what? The lady would go there, and she'd dip out some water to make some coffee for this guy who likes a lot of coffee. Coming from Colombia, you have to like Colombia. You have to like coffee. And she would dip it out, and she would get water out to wash the dishes. And you know what? That 45-gallon thing was full the whole time. It never emptied. Why? Because the water was continually flowing into it. And that's the way it should be with us. We should recognize the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us. And as we submit ourselves to him, there's a continuous filling. Be, and the Greek says that, be being filled. It's a continuous verb there. Be being filled. And so we, like that drum there, it's continuously being filled. And we should be continuously being filled by the Holy Spirit to live for him and to do the things that he wants, to be directed by him and to be blessed by him as he works in us and through us. Constantly submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ. This is something that we don't just do once. We should be doing this continuously. What is that in your hand? You remember that verse from Exodus 4, verse 2? Moses was before the Lord in the burning bush, and he was saying, "I can't really speak. I don't have the right amount of words. I've forgotten my Egyptian. I've been gone for 40 years, and I know what it's like when you leave a country after 20 years. I was 20 years in Colombia. I was back there in August and preaching in many, many different parts of Colombia. And you know what? There are so many words that I had forgotten, and because of the lack of use of words. So I can imagine that Moses was having some of that sort of problem as well. And he said, "Lord, I have trouble." But the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And it was a rod, a shepherd's crook. And you know, the shepherds were despised by the Egyptians. But the Lord said, well, take that rod and go in my power. And as we read about Moses leaving Sinai there and heading off toward Egypt, it said he went with the rod of God in his hand. You see, his natural ability as a shepherd was going to be used to shepherd a couple of million Jews who were going to follow him out into the desert and walk around. And you remember that he used that rod to touch the Red Sea to become blood. He used that rod to open the Red Sea when they were prepared to cross over and they were trapped by the Egyptians. He used that rod to touch the rock that poured out water. And so the people were able to receive the water they needed for life. And so it is that when we are prepared to put whatever it is that we have in our hand, our ability, our character, whatever it is, our gifts, the Lord will take it and he will bless it and he will use it for his own glory. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you, Paul could say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6. Fan into flame. Don't let that fire go out. Keep it burning. Keep doing what God wants you to do and he will make your life a tremendous blessing. May the Lord help each one of us to not only know what our gifts might be, but then to commend these things into the hands of the Lord and permit him to do what he wants to do in our lives and through our lives and all for the glory of God. Now, Father, we just want to thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he not only gives us new life as he's regenerating the unconverted person into a new life. We pray that you'll help each one of us to know what it is you have for us, what work you have for us, what ministry you have for us. Whether it be in our present position, in our work, in our business, whatever it might be, maybe even calling some who may be here into a full-time service, either here or even in other countries. You know what you desire. Help each one of us to be able to say, here am I, send me. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the many blessings you've brought into our lives. Now we commend ourselves into your hands, seeking your guidance, your blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.